All right. So I'm Josias. I'm the community pastor here, and we are doing this sermon series on being hungry. And we're talking about various ways in which we are finding the deepest cravings of our heart, of our soul, in the coming of the Messiah. And so, like has already been said, 2 weeks ago we talked about how light, we crave the light of Christ, and how that light was craved by the Israelites, and how we still crave that light that Christ will bring when he comes again. The same thing with blessing, the unique blessings of Christ that we are craving, and that only Christ can bring. And today, we're going to be talking about the freedom that only Christ can bring. And there's a lot of ways to see freedom. And so today what I'm going to do is specify the type of freedom that I'm talking about. And it's the freedom to be who God created you to be. Not the freedom to do whatever you want to do. The freedom to be who God created you to be. And so in order to teach on this and get to this, I think I need some help. So let's pray. Lord, we ask that you would be incredibly present right now, and that you would be showing us the way to freedom, and that you would reveal to us who you are in as being the one who does bring freedom to our lives. I pray that you would reveal to us who we truly are and help us to live out that identity in you. We pray, Lord God, that you would bless the rest of this service. Help me to teach, and I pray that you'd get us all home safely as well. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, so when I was a kid, I had a dog named Holly, and so I had her probably from when I was about 7 years old to about 17 years old. And so I had this dog for a long time. One thing she just loved to do, and this is something that dogs in general love to do, is run. And so, unfortunately, we lived in the city in a pretty small home with no fenced backyard. So we had to chain her up. So when she wanted to go to the bathroom, we'd chain her up and she'd go out. And she wasn't as smart as me. Because she would end up, you know, wrapped around a tree or wrapped around a pole, and she'd get all stuck, and she'd have like a couple inches left of the leash to just yelp and cry out, and we'd have to go out there and you know, walk her around the tree to get her free. And she loved walks, like most dogs, so much so that we couldn't even say the word walk, because she would hear it and just go crazy in the house. So we'd sign it, and she caught on to that too.
She is
smarter than you. So when we would take her out for walks, I know many of you guys have dogs, you know, if your dog isn't super trained well, they just pull because they want to run. They want to chase after squirrels. They want to pee on things. And that's exactly what Holly would do oftentimes. And so it was sometimes sad to see her like this, because she would be so wanting to run that she would be choking herself and like coughing, like, and you're like, just calm down, you know? But Holly, the promised land for Holly was when we went to my grandparents' farm. That was a no-leash land. She didn't have to be tied up to anything. She could just be a dog and run and get, like, into poop and, like, roll in everything that smells terrible and just be a dog. And she was just so happy. It was heaven on earth for her. And I feel like she was experiencing simply the environment in which God sort of made for dogs to live, free, able to run, not be bound by any sort of leash or anything like that. And I think it's an interesting analogy to
what God was desiring for God's people. God saw that God's people was in slavery in Egypt. They were bound. They were oftentimes in chains. And God wanted to bring them out of that place to a land called Israel, or the land of Israel, to bring them to a place of freedom. He wanted them to be able to live the life that God knew that they could live, and the life that he was giving them as a gift. And so, so he brings them out of Egypt, frees them from the Egyptians, gets them to the land that was promised to them, and you would think that would be the end of the story. They were freed, they're now in the land of freedom, they can be who God created them to be. But what happened over and over and over, and it's kind of the story that's told over and over and over in the Old Testament, is that they kept on falling into sin and idolatry. And every single time they did that, it was the writers used the analogy of slavery, of going back into slavery to sin, or being in bondage to other gods. So it was like they were given this place of freedom, and then they would get enticed to follow a god that would then put a leash on them. And that leash would be the sin that they would walk in. So the sin, they would kind of get pulled around by these evil spirits that are trying to entice them away from Yahweh through their sin. Now, this is exactly what's going on with Isaiah 9, actually. We've been reading this over and over and over. And the setting is that Israel and its leaders have been following idols. And Isaiah, before this, and earlier in Isaiah, he's saying, you guys have screwed up. God's going to bring judgment. But there's hope. And so Isaiah is telling about the hope that will one day come, because he knows that the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom of Israel and Judah have already walked down a path that is going to lead to the exile. So there's going to be a hope. One day, this Messiah will come. One day, there will be a defeat of their enemies, and one day they'll experience this freedom. So let's go to Isaiah 9:4, which we're focusing on today, and see what Isaiah is talking about. He says, "For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor." So at this time, the Assyrians were the big, bad national power that were sweeping across the ancient Near East, destroying all these little smaller nations. And so at this point, Israel is a vassal nation. They have to give tribute, or they have to give their resources to Assyria. And so pretty much Assyria has a leash on them. Assyria is telling them what to do, when to do it. And Assyria is also known for being quite brutal. And so this promise is that God is going to do something like in the days of Midian's defeat, to shatter the yoke that burdens them, to shatter the bar across their shoulders, to shatter the rod of their oppressor. Now, what is Midian's defeat? This goes back to a story in Israel's history where the Midianites were a nation that was more powerful than Israel. And they were coming during a time, again, when Israel was falling into idol worship and sin, and God's protective power was lifted, and the Midianites were coming and taking the food and resources and killing Israelites year after year after year, and people were afraid of the Midianites. Well, they finally cried out to God and said, God, we need you, we need your help, why have you left us? And God hears them, taps Gideon on the shoulder, says, Gideon, I want you to raise up an army and fight off the Midianites. So Gideon gets thousands of fighting men to fight against the Midianites. And then God says, now I want you to send most of them home. He sends thousands of them home to where he only has 300 fighting men. And he knows that he's going to be fighting thousands upon thousands of Midianites. But God does this to say that you can't trust in yourself to find your freedom. You can't trust your own abilities, your own wisdom. You have to trust me that I will do this. So they go to the camp of the Midianites, and at night they blow trumpets and yell really loud. And the Midianites go berserk. They start going after one another. They then are freaked out. They don't know how many Israelites are there, and they run. And the Israelites with Gideon follow them, kick their butt, win the battle. It's this amazing story. And so what Isaiah is saying here, he's saying, the promise is like that. It's not going to come from yourselves. The freedom that is coming has to come straight from God. So the yoke, yokes are devices to help control animals or people. If they're enslaved, they may have a yoke, like a bar on them. And so what this is saying is he's going to break the ways in which the oppressor has a power over you. And he's going to break the rod. Rods are a symbol of authority. Break the authority over the oppressor. So, the Israelites under the Assyrians were hungering or craving for this freedom. And they knew that this freedom would only come from a source that was outside of them, from God bringing a Messiah. And they were waiting and waiting and waiting. And it's interesting to see how this text is used to show how Jesus fulfills this in the New Testament. Before we actually see how it's used in the New Testament, we have to go to Isaiah 9:1. Can you pull that up? So this is the verse before the readings that we've been reading. And this is what it says. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. It seems weird that I would read that, but you will understand really quickly. So let's run to Matthew 4:10. All right. So this is a place in Matthew where Jesus had just come away from being tempted by Satan. And this is the very end of that temptation. And Satan was trying to lead him to idolatry. This is the same story that Satan has been using against the Israelites forever and ever, and he was trying to do it to the new king of Israel. And so instead of being led into idolatry, this is what Jesus says. Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he withdrew to Galilee. Remember these names from Isaiah 9:1. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali. Go to the next one. To fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah, land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. So Matthew here is seeing that Jesus is fulfilling this call for the Messiah, that he is coming to this land north of Judah that had been wrecked by the Assyrians, and this promise was, you're going to get some good stuff. I promise. And he's saying, it's come. So then we keep going, and let's see how Jesus actually brings freedom. In Matthew 4:23, just a little bit lower, it says this, Jesus went through Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria. This was one of the nations that was also destroyed by Assyria. And people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, and those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Now, this wasn't what they were crying out for, it seems, right? They were wanting freedom from a national oppressor, from the Assyrians. And now, when Jesus arrives on the scene, they're wanting the exact same thing, but it was from the Romans. They're wanting freedom from being oppressed by the Romans, and this is what Jesus offers them. But I think Jesus is saying, I want to bring freedom from your real oppressor. The one that brings the most oppression in your life. And so that's why we start with his sort of battle with Satan. He wins that, and he's bringing freedom from the evil empire that oftentimes we miss. We oftentimes see the Roman Empire and the Assyria and whatever natural oppressors that we experience, and we're missing the ones that actually go deep into our hearts. So through all those acts that we just read about that Jesus did, he brings, I would say, true freedom to be the people that God created his people to be. He's allowing people to be free from the inside out, free from lies, free from diseases and demons and ailments and pain, completely free to be God's children. And then ultimately, through the cross and the resurrection, Jesus brings freedom from Satan completely, breaks the chain of sin that entangled us and frees us from all that keeps us bound. He frees us to be who God created us to be. And this is the essential meaning of salvation. When we talk about being saved, this is what it means. Everything Satan and the diabolical powers had on us, all of our sin, all the sin that put us under their oppression, has lost its power. And we have been set free from the power of sin and its condemnation. But we don't always feel that way, right? We often are just kind of limping along, still bound in sin, still believing lies, still living with a lot of pain, still feeling not free. So why is this? Well, I would say one of the reasons why this is that it's sort of like this dog analogy. Now, let's say I was a terrible, terrible person, and instead of loving my dog, Holly, since she was a little pup, let's say I abused her, and let's say I kept her in a kennel for years and years and years, and let's say my grandparents found out about this. And after she's 10 years old, she gets saved from me, brings her to the promised land of the farm. Well, at this point, she might actually not want to run because she doesn't know what it is to be a dog. She may not go and roll around in the mud and in the pig poo, and she might... just be scared. She might not want to run because she doesn't know what it is to be a dog. And I think sometimes we don't know what it is to be a child of God. And I think this is why Paul talks about renewing our mind. He knows that we're free in Christ, but oftentimes we don't live free because we don't actually think the truth about ourselves, the truth about others, the truth about God. The negative things that have gone on in our past still have put us in bondage. And sometimes we don't even know it. But Jesus wants to bring freedom to us inside and out, to show us an example. I'm really excited about this. I want to share a testimony that my brother is going to share. He's actually in the back shooting a video for the kids' Christmas Eve service, so he can't be with us right now, but he's just been talking over and over and over about the freedom that he's been experiencing. And so what I want to do is share a testimony from him of how Christ has been bringing him freedom, and hopefully the video works. Let's try.
Hi, everybody. I'm talking to you guys about freedom I experienced in my life recently. About a year ago, I went to a SOZO, which is a inner healing ministry, where God completely showed up and released me from a lot of icky stuff that was wrapped in my life, mostly lies connected to a kind of a event. I was abused, molested at a young age that I completely forgot about, and it came up and I needed to deal with it. That's why I was at SOZO mostly. So not only was I released and freed from the tragedies of the event, I was also released from everything that was attached to that lie that I believed in. When I say lie, like how I think about myself, basically I was thinking of myself in a very negative way. I was also thinking of other people that I didn't, you know, I just don't trust anybody. And so basically living a very isolated emotional life. I don't really, it's very difficult for me to explain, but basically free from that. And then the Holy Spirit brought a bunch of good stuff in my life, to fill the gap that he pulled out. Lots of truths that I am awesome, that I am very emotional. I cry a lot now. I feel so much love now, and the amount of love that I feel towards like people in general, it's crazy. I don't know if it's like borrowed love from God channeling through me, but it's like, whoa, this friend, this acquaintance, my wife, my kids, it's like radiating out of me. It's pounding out of my heart. It's like my wedding day all the time. Freedom, going back to freedom, I experienced SOZO, and then now this year, through a couple different things, I decided to do a fast, and the Lord really showed up again. Before the fast, he wanted me to give my most favorite possessions away, and that was difficult, but it was completely awesome, and it freed me so much from any ties to materialism that I had, which I might still have. I don't know. I gotta ask God. But I think if I could give out those things, I could give out anything else in my life easily. So did that, experiencing freedom from materialism, from any lies connected to that abuse, and now I'm running like free and living by faith, and the Lord's been speaking to me a lot, bringing me a lot to Hebrews, mostly 10, 11, and 12, and I'd like to end it with a little bit of scripture reading that has been pumping me up a lot. Let's see. So this is 12. Background to 12 is that 10's like, this is what Jesus did. 11's like, these are what all these awesome people in the Bible did, and through faith and stuff like that. And then 12 starts with, do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on, it means we'd better get on with it. Strip down, start running, and never quit. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed, that exhilarating finish in and with God. He couldn't put up with anything along the way, cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there, in the place of honor, right alongside God. When you find yourself flagging in your faith, go over the story again, item by item. That long litany of hostility, wrong, he plowed through. That will shoot adrenaline into your souls. Man, it shoots adrenaline into my souls. Not just all those stories, but also my story. I have started keeping a journal just to remind me, and God leads me back to some of the stories that I wrote down. And I just want to say I love you guys. Find freedom through Jesus' power. And also, if you need any encouragement, or if you want to ask me more about my story of lately, more detail, just call me or talk to me later. And that's it. Bye.
And I would say I've been seeing that transformation as he's been participating in Third Way. I remember him just saying, like, I hate church. Hate it. Hate small groups. I hate all of that stuff. I don't want to be a part of that. I don't want it. And so God has been doing such an amazing work in him, bringing more and more freedom in his life, and I'm excited. And if you're wanting something similar, if you're experiencing the need for more freedom in your life, if there's been lies that you've been believing about yourself, if there's things that you're dealing with internally that you know need to be brought into freedom, like Jesus is there for you, like hunger for that, thirst for that. And we have a hunger and thirst for what will one day come. And that's when we actually get brought into the promised land, when Jesus brings us to a place of complete freedom. And so we have this hope that lasts, that we can experience today of freedom, and also a hope of what we will one day experience. Let's pray. And I want to say that if you do have any questions about this and for further to experience freedom, I would say talk to me, talk to Joel. I know that Hannah Pietola has training in inner healing stuff, so talk with her. We would love to talk to you more about experiencing freedom. All right, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the ways in which you have brought freedom, for the ways in which you are bringing freedom, and for the ways that you will continue to bring freedom into our lives, allowing for us to be who you created us to be, and one day placing us into a location that we're created to live in. When the new heavens and the new earth come and we are completely free to be ourselves, completely free to worship you, completely free to live the way that you want us to live. We pray these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.